Hey everybody, welcome inside the Ram Studio connected by AT&T for a supersized edition, a season-end edition of Ram's Mailbag.
Was that a shot?
It was not a shot.
Okay.
It was an acknowledgement that we have three people at the table instead of two.
Oh, that's what the off-season is for,
Miles
getting
Simmons.
Back to your plane with, right?
Right, thank you.
That's how I look at it.
Up or down.
Miles Simmons, J.B. Long, DeMarco Farr. We've got our producer Matt behind the camera. As always, need your help to make this show work. You can put your questions in the Facebook comments there, or tweet them to me at Miles A. Simmons. We'll get to them on the show. Matt, first question.
First one's going to be a simple question, not so simple answer, from LA Rams Fan Zone. How would you have beaten Atlanta?
Not turn the ball over. That would be number one. Right. Yeah, you cannot give any football team in the postseason, or period, extra chances to beat your defense or to wear them out. The thing that sticks in my craw, it's not necessarily the takeaways or who had the takeaways. It's just wasting your defensive effort. You saw the first quarter with that defense. They were taking it to Atlanta. So imagine if you stretch out that effort for 3.5, 4 quarters. I believe you beat them. So it's the age-old, you can't have turnovers in the postseason or your chances of losing go to zero.
I would only add try and win a little bit more of the clock. I think in the Rams' losses this year, the teams that had success against them, Washington, Minnesota, Atlanta comes to mind, they were the ones that were able to keep the ball away from the highest scoring team in the National Football League. When you get an opportunity like, say, second down and two in Falcons territory on your third drive in a scoreless game, maybe just being a little bit more cognizant of what any points in that situation playing in front might mean over the course of the game in terms of maintaining a bit more of the ball and the clock.
Well, to me, it's not just the turnovers, but yeah, I mean, what you're saying right there is true, JP. You look at the way the Rams started this game. I mean, they had 2-3 and outs, and then they had a 4-play drive, and then you just really don't get that rhythm. You don't get any of the timing established, and you kind of don't get the plays. McVay always sort of says that after a loss. You know, we didn't really get the plays, and that's why Todd Gurley didn't have more carries. That's why, you know, Tavon Austin, for instance, didn't get on the field and didn't get as many touches, because then you're playing from behind, and you're in that two-minute situation there for so long. So I think, how would the Rams have beaten Atlanta? Well, you get more first downs early, you get on the board first. All right, Matt, back to you. Next question.
From Calvin, what are your predictions for who the Rams sign in 2018 of our free agents, including True, Joyner, and obviously everybody wants to know about paying Donald.
Yes, paying Donald. Well, Aaron, that's the thing. Aaron Donald is still under contract, right, for the next season. And then, in theory, he could be placed under the franchise tag for the next 2 years. So anybody who I think is saying, oh, well, what's going to go on with Aaron Donald? Aaron Donald's going to be here. He's not going anywhere.
I hope he shows up here for training camp.
He did tell, he did have a quote, and I've seen this, where he told, I think it was Aldon Gonzalez of ESPN, I'm not planning on doing that again.
Oh, good, because you saw what he looked like once he got into game shape, right?
Right.
So I would like that from day one. That would be nice. You know, the whole Tremaine Johnson situation, that's going to take care of itself. I'm curious to see what the market is for him outside of here. I'm sure there are going to be some teams, maybe in the NFC West, that would really love his services and that body and that ability. So we'll see what happens. LaMarcus Joyner must stay a Ram, in my opinion. I think he is on a path to be one of the better free safeties in the game. There's nothing he can't do at that position. And the one knock on him was his size. I think he outplays his size. Yeah, he hits harder than anybody at that size I've ever seen. So, in my opinion, LaMarcus must stay around.
99 is a first priority. Mm-hmm. LaMarcus is not far behind for me. I think Roger Saffold is going to need to be taken care of contractually in this offseason. And then the most intriguing one to me is Sammy Watkins, because of the options he might have available and because of the options that the Rams have available in terms of how to make sure that he continues to wear Rams colors. Look, if I'm a skill position player, there are few places, few offenses, few coaches I would rather play for next season and beyond than with Sean McVay and Jared Goff and the Los Angeles Rams. It's a very friendly situation to be in if you want to be a top receiver. But by the same token, Cooper Kupp's not going anywhere. Robert Woods proved that he can be a number one. And for Sammy, it's going to be an internal decision that he and his people have to make. On the one hand, I led this team in touchdown receptions. On the other, my targets and my catches and my yards are not what you would expect from someone of my caliber.
The other thing about that, too, is if Sammy Watkins does stay around, and you got to remember that the Rams did trade that 2018 second-round pick for Sammy Watkins, so I tend to think that he will be. But having an offseason and getting in that offseason program and being in the offense with everybody when things are getting installed, I think that would have a really that would be really helpful for him.
Well, I look at the reps that Jared and someone like Cooper got, and even Robert Woods coming in on their own volition, on their own time in that off season to get a jump start on everything else in the offseason program, and look at the dividends that paid. If Jared and Sammy were to have that same opportunity in February, March, April this year, you might see similar rewards.
What did they say? It's more above the neck here?
Yeah.
It was one of the sounding points to the Sean McVay offense. So, yeah, you're going to need X amount of time in this offense to really be good. So I'd love to have Sammy in this offense starting at training camp.
Absolutely.
But there's also a question from the Rams standpoint, if we're talking franchise tag, the price tag associated with that compared to the number of catches and yards that Sammy generated this season creates an obvious question mark.
It does. All right, guys, remember you can keep submitting your questions either on Facebook or on Twitter at Miles A. Simmons. Matt, next question.
From Michael, what's the biggest need going into the draft?
I don't know. the best player available, right? I mean, that's the way the Rams have always sort of approached it.
No, I'd go corner.
You would go corner?
I'd probably go corner.
Be you thinking about the situation with Trumaine Johnson and then the fact that you also have your number two corner coming off an Achilles injury.
Yeah, I'll go back to something I learned as a rookie. You could never have too many good corners.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'd rather go heavy there than go light there.
I don't disagree with that, but I will say I was blown away by the production that the Rams got deep in the season from Troy Hill and from Kevin Peterson. I mean, the way they graded out in big-time situations, called into duty on short order, was impressive, which is not to say that you have a solution there that would negate the need for drafting a corner, but just flipping sides of the football, you have aging left tackle, aging center that whether or not need to be replaced in 2018 almost certainly will need to be replaced the following year. So do you draft offensive line now, something the Rams did a few years back and have gone away from in the hopes that they can kind of grow up in the culture and in this offense? It might be something to look at.
That's interesting, too, because you look at the offensive line, all five starters played the, I guess, consequential first 15 games of the season. So that was the only team in the NFL to have that happen was the LA Rams. So and it's something that McVay even discussed on Sunday, the fact that, you know, the Rams were super healthy this year. The Rams have been pretty healthy going back the last 2 years. So you got to be able to build depth in some of those positions.
I'll add one other position group, and that would be outside linebacker.
Yes, right.
Are Connor Barwin and Robert Quinn part of the Rams' plans on defense moving forward? If not, that becomes a position of need.
Absolutely. Yeah. You kind of have to do this for paycheck. Yeah, I want your ability. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I want the paycheck that comes with it. Yeah.
All right, Matt, next question.
From Mike, with Greg Olsen's departure, will that change anything in our offense?
No.
I don't think so. Matt LaFleur is still here. Sean McVay's here. Jared Goff's going to get better. You're talking about a Pro Bowl quarterback that you're looking for improvement from. At least I am. Taking it to the next level. I thought he played great this year. I'm looking for him to be even better next season. So you wish Greg Olsen well going to the Raiders. It's a great move for him. I'm sure he and Gruden will work well together with Carr. But here with McVay and Matt LaFleur, I don't think you'll see a change at all in the offense.
What stands out to me is, yes, the message and the teaching to Jared was fortified by the experience they brought into that room this year. But throughout, the message was that it was a unified, cohesive, consistent message from head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback's coach. Mm-hmm. By promoting from within, I think you guarantee that that consistency is going to be maintained, and from the top down, Jared's going to be hearing one voice from three different individuals.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, JP. They did promote from within in order to replace Greg Olsen. It seemed like because the Rams probably knew that this was in the works. I mean, Greg Olsen had been reported to going to the Raiders basically as soon as it was reported that John Gruden would accept that job. But now you have Zach Taylor, who was the assistant wide receivers coach for the Rams this year, but going back a couple years was the quarterback's coach in Miami, has plenty of experience doing that. Also a pretty successful college quarterback, too. So it's not like, I don't know, Jared Goff is now going to be going into something where the voices are not unified and you don't have that same kind of message of improvement.
He's not Alex Smith. Yeah.
But if you want to also, if you want to continue to attract top young coaching talent, just look at it from the reverse perspective. Mm-hmm. If you know that the Los Angeles Rams and Sean McVay have a reputation of building off their success by promoting within, then you might be more willing to take an assistant position coach job in Los Angeles, knowing that, hey, if this team continues to thrive, the people above me on the org chart are going to move on to bigger and better mm-hmm. opportunities, yep. and I'll be able to step up as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. All right, Matt, back to you.
From DVH, do you think the Rams will try to upgrade the position of tight end in the offseason or just hope to improve what they already have?
It's an interesting question because you have you had a couple young tight ends this year, especially with Gerald Everett. Everybody always says that tight end is one of the hardest positions to adjust to from college to the NFL. And you look at where Gerald Everett was playing.
Try D tackle. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It was really tough for Aaron Donald to adjust to the NFL. Or
going from college kids to grown men, that's a big jump. Anyway,
I mean,
go ahead.
It is a big jump. Yeah, it is a big jump. But I think just from the tight end perspective, like you've got these two young guys and they've had chances to make some plays, yeah. but even McVay said the other day, a lot of the season they spent in 11 personnel, so one running back, one tight end, and they want to kind of get a little bit more out of that going into next season, use a couple more personnel groupings. So tight end is definitely a position that either internally is going to have to improve or maybe they bring in somebody else.
You know what intrigues me is when you watch the national anthem and you see the guys line up and you get to judge height. The guy that stands head and shoulders above the entire team almost is to Mark Hemingway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait until he gets healthy
mm-hmm.
in this offense. So who knows? Just by that one addition, maybe he changes the entire room. But I like what Higbee gives you. I like what Gerald Everett has given you this year. I'm looking for those guys to improve, but I like their ability within the offense. If you add him to this to that tight end group, who knows where they could be?
I like your answers. I don't have much to add except yes, and you look at the competition and who gave the Rams some trouble. Philadelphia, Atlanta, Jimmy Graham in Seattle at times. A lot of it had to do with the personnel packages and the different threats that they could present from the tight end position. We all know McVay loves his tight ends, has had great success with tight ends. The tight end production for this first year with the Rams, not what I think he would like to see moving forward.
But I think by the same token, you know, we talk about that. The tight end production wasn't probably what they wanted it to be, but the Rams still finished number one in scoring.
Yeah.
And scored the fourth most points in franchise history. So if that's where we are, I think the Rams are on the right track.
Fine-tuning
moving exactly. forward. All right, I think we'll take a couple more questions. Matt, back to you.
Last one from Matt.
All right, last one.
You guys have covered this team closer than anyone. We fell short of the ultimate goal, but can you describe this team's historic turnaround and what it means moving forward?
You want me to start?
Yeah. Go for it, yeah.
Go ahead, you're the most eloquent here.
No, I don't know about that.
Speak for yourself. No, go ahead.
But historic is really what it was. I mean, worst to first in terms of point productions, more than doubling last year's total. To me, it's more than just the wins and the losses and the point production, though. I think it's a cultural turnaround, and you now have a locker room of individuals, many of whom are drafted highly, who now have high expectations of themselves and of their team's product. And if you hadn't accomplished anything else, even if you hadn't accomplished a division title in 1 year, the fact that you now have a culture and a belief in those facilities at Cal Lutheran right now, to me, is going to have great, great ramifications for the future.
I agree. I mean, you have changed the culture, effectively changed the culture. I hate to break it down this way, but the Rams are cool now. When other teams, when other players see the Rams, it's no longer a joke or a laughingstock. It's something, a team to be reckoned with. You have to deal with 99. I think you knew that. You have to deal with 30 now. You have to deal with Jared Goff. And you have to speak about those guys in a different light, in a different way. So I think Sean McVay and this organization has completely changed course. The arrow is pointing up. So this is a great step towards where you want to get to. I wish the team was still playing this weekend. I wish they were still in the playoffs, but this will be a great building point, a great way to send your team into the offseason hungrier for more.
Can I ask you something, though, just to follow up on that? I've always heard that the higher you get on the ladder, the tougher each rung gets to take that next step.
Oh, yeah.
And it feels like, to me, going into this offseason, as challenging as last offseason was, this one's going to be harder because of the decisions you have to make and because of where you're trying to go next, from a division championship to a Super Bowl. And you're no longer the hunter. You're the hunted. You've got a target on your back. You're going to be matched up against division champions on your schedule next year. Look, there's no mystery as to why the Falcons were the only team from last year's NFC playoffs to get back this year.
It's hard.
Because the league is designed to tamp down teams that feel like they're on the rise.
Well, it's funny. You go from the guys in headsets and clipboards, the coaches, That's who's in charge of your football team and success. When you turn it over into the offseason to the guys in suit and ties, now you got to keep everybody together and keep everybody motivated. That's what the offseason is. You don't want to lose this spirit or this passion for what you just had through the business part of the football season. You must keep that same fire and keep everybody together.
And that's going to be one of the most important things. I think we've seen this year that Sean McVay and Les Snead have worked very, very well together. And they've really built a foundation of this team, I think, from an offensive standpoint, defensive standpoint, special team standpoint, that can continue to grow and get better as the years continue here over the next few years.
That's awesome that you mentioned that, because I think it's a year ago Friday that McVay was hired.
Yeah, January 12th.
So you think about all the work that had to be done to self-scout, right? To just go through all the film to see what do we have on hand, what do we need to improve on, free agency draft or whatever. And I think they did an unbelievable job. We all agree with that.
Yes.
But think of where they are at this point. They know their roster inside and out. They know what their weaknesses are better than any of us do. Mm-hmm. And because all those pieces are moving together from the coaching staff to the front office, I cannot wait to see how they address it, how they improve year to year.
I have to go back to one move that Lovie Smith made when he was a defensive coordinator here, one statement he made. When they were trying to decide if London Fletcher was going to remain a Ram or not. And he said, I can get someone to do what London, or give, I can get someone to give what London is giving for cheaper. Hmm. He meant just on the field. He had no idea what London was giving us off the field and the passion that he brought and just the focus that he, you know, brought to this football team. So once he left, I think things kind of went south defensively. So you have to keep your mind on that as well. It may not be dollars and cents, but remember what this guy is bringing to the football team and how important he is to the locker room. Sometimes that gets lost in the business.
Sometimes it does, but I don't know that it will, especially with this staff and this front office staff as well. So, guys, thank you so much for all of your questions today. Thank you to JB. Thank you to DeMarco and Matt, our producer, for giving us
super
these questions.
Super size.
You're lucky you're over there.
I know. I am. All right, guys. But thank you so much for tuning in to each edition of Mailbag over the course of this season. We'll have these periodically throughout the off season, but we won't be here every single week. But we hope that you've enjoyed this ride in the 2017 season, and we'll see you soon.